good morning and welcome in. It's time for Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa Edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we've got an interesting program lined up. Going to find out about what's happening around the Napa Valley. So all you have to do is settle back, relax, and just enjoy yourself as we get into what's happening with, first of all, some information from your Chamber of Commerce. The annual meeting is coming up in January, but now is the time to vote. You got to go to their website and you click on which large business you think should be awarded the Large Business of the Year, which business you feel should be the Small Business of the Year for Napa, who you think should be the Customer Service Person of the Year, the Member of the Year. And according to what Travis Stanley has said, they're going to have a new award category. It's Collaborating Community Champion of the Year. I am not sure what that means, but at least that's what Travis Stanley has added. Now, the event actually takes place at the Westin Verse on Friday, January the 31st. It starts at 11:30 in the morning. It'll be finished probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So sign up, because it will sell out. Coming up on Friday the 13th, how about that for an omen? Friday the 13th, they have Leads Over Lunch. Now, it's going to be at the Blue Note, and that starts at 11:30 then on that Friday, so sign up for that. It's a good place to have the opportunity to engage, connect, and collaborate. That's, again, what Travis says. I just make a note on what he has to say. They're also sponsoring the annual labor law seminar that comes up on Wednesday, January the 15th. It's going to be starting at 8:30 in the morning on that January 15th at our neighbor here at KVON, the Hampton Inn and Suites. And it's presented by Richard Wybicki. He's an employment attorney, and you'll learn a lot about changes. You know, change seems to happen each year. Well, 2020 is going to be no different. And so this seminar is going to cover new laws. It'll cover important court decisions, talk about legal developments, talk about issues affecting employers of all sizes. So just contact the chamber if you'd like to be a part of that. So with that said, let's just get settled here now. And here we go with our first guest today. And we're happy that Miriam Ahmed has joined us. She is Director of Public Programs at CIA at Copia. So first of all, let me just say thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's find out here if we get the right microphones all set up. And tell us a little bit about your background first before we find out about the CIA at Copia. Are you originally from Napa?
I'm not originally from Napa. I've been here for about 4 years now, though. I grew up in upstate New York, a region not so dissimilar from the Napa Valley, but much, much colder. And I came to Napa by way of Walla Walla, Washington, actually. That was where I first moved out west to gain winemaking and viticulture experience.
Is Walla Walla very close to the coast?
No, it's not. No, it's pretty far inland, actually. It's about 4.5 hours from Seattle.
Wow, that's quite a distance in. What did you like about Walla Walla?
Walla Walla is such a magical city. It's small town feel, but an extremely big entrepreneurial spirit, a big community spirit.
How'd you find out about Napa?
Well, all through school, and when I caught the food and beverage bug, I knew about Napa. You can't not know about Napa when it comes to food and wine. And I knew that this was an epicenter for what I was so passionate about. So it made a lot of sense when the Culinary Institute of America had a role that seemed like I'd be a good fit to throw my hat in the ring and move down here. And I've been here ever since, and I've only been with the Culinary Institute since I came to Napa.
Well, how did you happen to find out about that opening the CIA had?
I always kept a close tab on what the CIA was working on, and I knew that the CIA at Copia was a project that they were hoping to develop, and I had gained a lot of experience in food and beverage education in I've applied that to the consumer or public programs that we offer now.
So you knew what you wanted to do.
I did.
And it's just a matter of matching that up.
I'm one of those. I've never done anything different than, okay. than love food and wine.
So you come to Napa, and what was your first assignment?
My first assignment, I actually started at the CIA at Greystone. So my office was up there for about 6 months, and my job was to take a look at what the current business was and think about ways we could innovate it, collaborate with new partners, and maybe just improve some of the programs that we were already offering just from a really exciting standpoint and, mm-hmm. and grow our team. Almost right away, we were growing the team. Mm-hmm.
And who did you report to?
I reported to the managing director, Tom Bensel. Mm-hmm. We still work very closely together, though I report to his boss now.
Well, what type of programs do you have as far as for the public?
So at both CIA at Greystone and at Copia, we offer hands-on cooking classes, we offer CIA chef demonstrations, and wine education. We do that for the public, and we've also been working with a lot of companies that want to come in for team buildings or for group learning.
Mm-hmm. And the current program that we're going to be hearing about is called what?
It's called Conversations at Copia. Mm-hmm. And we kicked that program off this year with Chef Andrew Zimmern. He's been our celebrity moderator this year for three different panels, the last of which, for this year is taking place tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's focus in on when this is and a little bit of some of the involvement.
Sure. So our last event, like I mentioned, is tomorrow, but the program itself has been geared toward different issues within the hospitality industry that we want everyone to have a voice in or learn more about. So in September, we talked about being an authority in cuisine. Last month, we talked about food excess and access. And this Saturday, we're talking about equity and opportunity, which is a really big topic, actually.
Mm-hmm. And who is the principal speaker or director of this?
So I'm the director of the series. Chef Andrew Zimmern is the moderator for all three. And then we've brought in different panelists with different expertise depending on the topic. So tomorrow we have five panelists coming, actually. Very exciting people to come and talk about equality because there's so much depth and varying levels of equality, especially within hospitality.
How do people sign up for this event?
So the event is still listed live. It's CIA at Copia, and at is spelled out, AT.com. And listeners today get $20 off if they use the promo code 993.
So, wow, that's good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what about the timing for the event?
So tomorrow's event starts at 4:30 with a pre-reception. It's a really small gathering. You get to meet the panelists and chat with them, and then we go in for the panel at 5:45. So if you can't make it until then, that's fine. And then afterward, we do a fundraiser for the Andrew Zimmern Second Chances Scholarship. And that is such an amazing part of this program because you get to hear what the panelists have to say during the panel, and then you have a chance to keep the conversation going during the scholarship fundraiser. And there's book signings and the silent auction and some really fun things. And of course, food inspired by the panelists that the CIA mm-hmm. curates.
And your office is at CIA at Copia?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's focus on the facility there. Sure. Many of us remember what it was when it was Copia, mm-hmm. but now that it's CIA at Copia, tell us about the features of the building and how that's being utilized, and also anything happening as far as the gardens outside.
Sure. Well, the purpose behind acquiring the CIA at Copia was so that the Culinary Institute of America could have a platform for our consumer or public-facing programs, also for our work with the industry and our conferences and some of our consulting clients. So we needed a space that we could bring the Culinary Institute to those audiences as well, in addition to all of the academic campuses that we have. So we were really excited to take on Copia because you know that the original purpose behind it was to be, you know, the American Center for Wine, Food, and the Arts, and taking that mission and understanding it, making the CIA part of it is so special to us. And so what we've done is we've created, of course, a retail shop. We have multiple options for dining, a restaurant. We have an outdoor space right on the garden that's open during the summer and spring seasons while it's warm. And upstairs we have a Chuck Williams Culinary Arts Museum, which is a collection of hundreds of different culinary tools that are really awe-striking because the first thing you see is a wall full of copper molds, and it's just shiny and sparkly and so wonderful that we received that entire collection. And then we have our Heston kitchens where we're offering hands-on teaching classes, and those are can range from, you know, a skill set of really, I'm just coming in, I've never picked up a knife, show me what I can do at home, all the way to our multi-day boot camp programs where people can come and learn and spend 5 days really taking on a culinary curriculum with the CIA.
Is this museum open to the public?
It is.
Is it,
yes,
there is there a charge?
No, there is no charge. There's no charge to enter the building. In fact, we also have multiple art exhibits throughout the building that are open to the public when we
participate. Are these changing the art?
They are. We've had the Francis of Feast exhibit with Julia Child we'll have it for about a year, so through March, and we'll continue to do changing exhibits. We've also done in the past celebrations of artists. Right now we're doing through December, every Saturday we're having artisans join our marketplace so that we can, you know, feature local artisans for the holiday season. And then we're working with local chefs for pop-up dinners on Monday nights, featuring really amazing food and really global cuisine.
How do people sign up for that?
So you actually don't have to sign up, The list of upcoming chefs is all on our website, ciaecopia.com. And you can see on Monday we have South American street food coming on with Chef Lizzie Bender, who has been a contestant on Top Chef and is a local actually here in Napa. So we're very excited about those programs. We've been offering Cinema Under the Stars in the garden to answer your garden question. This fall we also did garden tours, and we're going to start those up in spring again because people love them. And we're giving you pick bags as part of that garden tour so people can take some produce home with them at the end.
We're talking with Miriam Ahmed. She is Director of Public Programs at the CIA at Copia. And you mentioned the gardens. How extensive is the garden area?
It's quite extensive. I think the best example that I can give is that in 2018, we put in over 30 varieties of tomatoes. And that was just tomatoes. So
they all red in color?
they're big and little, and some are yellow, and some are striped. And it was amazing. There were so many tomatoes. But you know, we grow everything that we grow. We're using, you know, in the restaurant or in our conferences, or of course in our hands-on cooking classes. And a lot of time, we want people to go out into the garden to see it, to harvest it. We do that in our kids' programs too, so that the kids have an opportunity to see what it's like to have a home garden.
How many in the restaurant phase are students as compared to those that are full-time employees?
It's a great question. So everyone in the Copia restaurant is a professional. So many of them are alumni, but everything is professionally run. Up at the CIA at Greystone, our Gatehouse restaurant is all student-run, of course, with the oversight of faculty. So
and it's open to the public?
It is open to the public. And that restaurant can be signed up just like you would sign up for a reservation at InnoTree or something downtown. You can go ahead and sign up for Gatehouse. And when the students are in session, which is most of the time, you can go and have an amazing three-course meal and some wine pairings as well.
One of the interesting aspects, of which there are many at what we used to know as Copia, is a wonderful theater you have there. How is that being utilized?
We've been doing quite a few screenings, actually. That program I just mentioned to you, the Cinema Under the Stars, we moved inside for the winter season. So we've been screening since November. Every Tuesday, a fun movie. We just had Elf play this week for the holidays.
Is there a nominal charge for that?
No, there's no charge. We have food and beverage available for sale, but it's free. We want the community to be able to come in and enjoy the space. And of course, you know that theater is large and should be enjoyed. It's a very unique space. And then those movies will pick back up again in very early on in the year, I think, believe in February. And
so nothing happening movie-wise in the theater between now and February?
Between December 17th and February. So the 17th is our last screening. We've got quite a few conferences that take place at the CIA at Copia. We use that facility. Of course, that theater is home to Conversations at Copia, the program we're talking about, and several other of our partnership events or private venues that come up.
Is the main headquarters for Copia located in New York, or where would you consider the main headquarters?
So the CIA at Copia is run by the professionals at Copia. Our organization, the Culinary Institute of America, the main academic campus is in Hyde Park, New York. And then we have an academic campus in San Antonio, Texas. And then, of course, our CIA Greystone, which is mainly academic, but, of course, open to the public.
Looking at quite a few people then when this involvement covers so many areas.
Absolutely. It's quite a large organization and been around for quite some time.
Have you had a chance to be around and visit the different locations?
I have. I'm still missing San Antonio, but I spend, since I grew up in New York.
The Riverwalk, you got to
I know. I've been on my own, but never seen the campuses before my time at the Culinary Institute. But I have been to Hyde Park several times. I go back for work, but I also grew up not far from there. And so I was able to visit before I even started at the Culinary.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking ahead of time as far as possible future programs? Is that in your portfolio?
Absolutely. We're always thinking about future programs. The world of food and the world of beverage changes so quickly. And for 2020, we have really exciting things coming up. We have the Lighted Arts Festival that happens here in Napa. We're home to one of the exhibits. We also, this April, are very excitingly hosting the Food is Life Festival, and that will celebrate the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. So we will have a large 3D installation of the globe in our amphitheater. It's called Gaia, and it will be there all week, the week of April 20th, and we'll be celebrating and working with a lot of community partners on that event for a multi-day informational and really fun festival involving chefs, involving thought leaders, and of course opening the doors to the community.
Speaking of staff, how many do you have working with you in the public programs that you put on?
Oh, in public programs alone, between our full-time staff and some of our on-call staff, we have almost 30 employees. Mm-hmm.
Do you have docents there anymore?
We do, absolutely. Actually, we were mentioning, I have some of the docents that we opened with are still on the team, excitingly.
Is that right?
So for the past 3 years, we've had people stay with us to talk about the story, and we're also bringing in new faces all of the time to help with giving information, guided tours of the CIA Acopia as well. So there's always something, someone to speak to, and there's always something to see.
Where do you find your visitors come from?
We have a variety of visitors, a lot of Bay Area support, and of course the Napa Valley. But we're also seeing some Sacramento folks, and then we do get a lot of people who are coming for the weekend that have traveled in from New York or LA, or we've gotten quite a bit of Texas and mm-hmm. Illinois.
Many from outside the U.S.?
Some from outside the U.S., definitely, especially during holiday seasons like the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us again about signing up for this program that is tomorrow.
So the program tomorrow is called Conversations at Copia. We're going to be talking about setting the equity table. And you can find tickets at cia@copia.com. They're on sale until tomorrow afternoon. And anyone listening can have a $20 discount if you use the code 993 when you sign up. That event starts at 4:30, and it is truly an amazing event to be a part of, to hear something new, to challenge your perspective, or just think about things and the real impact food can have on change in the world at large, and how we all have a lot of power to influence that.
Well, Marian Ahmed, you are quite the interesting individual and doing a great job there, so keep
Thank
up the
you.
Good work.
Thank you, Ira. Thanks for having me.
All right. We've been talking with Marian Ahmed. She's Director of Public Programs, CIA at Copia. We got a lot more coming your way. And we continue along today in the Napa Valley, and we're happy to welcome into the program Garrett T. Murphy. Say, Garrett T. Murphy. Now, that sounds like a familiar name. And if you're around the culinary aspect of the Napa Valley, you've probably heard about it. First of all, came in with the Vintners Collective, and then more recently, the Kitchen Collective. But let's find out, first of all, who is Garrett Murphy?
Hi, Ira. It's been... It's been 18 years since the last time we, you and I had a wonderful talk.
A lot of things have happened in that.
That's period. Right. That's when I opened Vintners Collective. In those days, there was nothing much in Napa, and we spoke about starting a company that, at the time, represented, for people in Napa, an outside company coming into downtown, but. obviously, after all these years, we got very welcomed and done very well and been there for a long time, like some of my neighbors, like Coles and so forth. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so about 3 years ago, I opened also Kitchen Collective, which is a private club for foodies.
Yeah. Now, you have a sign outside of there that says something like River Terrace or something, but it doesn't say anything about Kitchen Collective.
We try to keep it, you know, very elusive. It's a private club. So, yeah, people always ask me, what's KC? And, you know, it's Kitchen Collective. And okay. We didn't want to write a private club or anything like that. We just want to keep
it. We might mention this is something unique in the U.S.,
right, first of its kind. There's only maybe two or three dozen in the Basque Country, but none of them the way we did it at Kitchen Collective. So private clubs for foodies in the Basque Country in Spain is something not unusual, but it's the first of its kind in the U.S.
Is that Basque Country also close to Portugal?
Yes, it is, yeah. North of Portugal.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about your background. Are you from there or what?
I was born in Boston, and that's why I got the Irish last name. And then I moved to France when I was 1 year old. And then when I grew up, I went to a culinary school in Paris. And so then after that, I became a chef, traveled around the country, all over the country, to work in the hotel industry. I was a pastry chef. And when I got to Napa Valley, I started to work as a consultant for Maidenwood and Auberge du Soleil. That was in 1996. And opened a bakery in Calistoga. And 2 years later, or somewhere around 97, I closed the bakery and went to work for the wine industry.
Hmm. Where did you get the idea of the Vintners Collective?
At the time, I worked for a small producer of, you know, about 45 minutes from the freeway or the highway 29. And getting people up the hill was difficult. So I said to the boss at the time, I said, let's do a multi-winery tasting room. With other wineries who have the same issues, let's do it where it's central down in the valley, and we can try to, you know, pull our resources together and trying to get as much traffic as possible. Mm-hmm. And so at the time, he decided not to do it, so I went out and opened Vintners Collective and invited about 20 producers to share the space.
What was the concept for the collective? How would you describe that?
At the time, for a small producer to sell wine outside of Napa Valley was difficult. Only the large producers would do well on a three-tier system. So a lot of the marketers at the time said, you need to sell direct to consumer. So this was what I pitched to all these wineries was, what about I take over, you know, all the brands we put under one tasting room and do direct marketing, sell everything to the consumers. You don't need to go out there and wholesale your wine.
Well, that has been very successful. But tell us then about the transition. Vintners Collective still doing quite well, but then you get into the Kitchen Collective.
Well, as I was just saying, I was a chef and worked in a food industry for 15 years or longer, and then you know, it was something that was in the back of my mind that you know, I want to do something that's related to food and wine, you know, Napa Valley. That those are the two main things. So I thought, hey, there's a lot of private clubs out there where the food is just excruciating. So I thought, well, let's open a club that's very inviting, you know, where, you know, the prices would be the cost of joining would be very, you know, easy, and you know, where people that are in the club are all foodies, and you know, people who would enjoy being in a much more relaxed atmosphere.
What was actually there at the Kitchen Collective prior to your taking over?
It was opened as a restaurant in 2002 called Budo. And Budo was an extraordinary restaurant, if you can remember that. There was a fusion, Asian fusion restaurant. I think they lasted a couple of years. Then another restaurant came in, and they closed about 2 years or 3 years prior to when I got there.
Mm-hmm. So this is a concept that's fairly new. Tell us about your membership. Is it extensive or is it very limited?
The membership, we have about 200 spots. It's a very small club, right? We're about a 8,000 square feet club, so it's not huge.
It's a great facility.
It's a great facility with a beautiful atrium in the middle, fireplaces everywhere. It's gorgeous. But you don't want to have too many members, so we kept it at that level. And memberships are, depending on if you're a social or a full member, it goes from $150 to $250 a month. After that, food is also capped at a certain price, which I think it's $50 all inclusive to eat there for a 3-course meal. So our members always know when they invite guests, mm-hmm. or a client or whoever, that's the price they pay.
How does one qualify to be a member?
Well, today is very different than when we opened. When we opened, we had a much more difficult process. Today, very often, it's a friend of a member that shows up and join. It's fairly easy right now. We're fairly easy. We have a couple. I think we have about 20 memberships always available at all time.
Since this is a unique operation, are you hearing from other parts of the country? Do people want to get some ideas from you about starting something of this nature?
I hear a lot of people telling me, oh, do you want to do one in Dallas? Do you want to do one in Boston? Do you want to do one in Chicago? And they always say, if you do, I'll invest. So you hear a lot of things like that. A little bit like when I opened Venice Collective. When I opened Venice Collective, there was no multi-winery tasting room, certainly nothing like what I did. And today you got 40-some in just downtown.
It's very successful.
So it's wonderful to be the first. At the same time, it's difficult to be the first because these projects are complicated, and you've got to learn as you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Up Valley there, we're going to have a little program regarding Jingle All the Way, too, that the Chamber of Commerce is working on there at St. Helena. We'll be finding out more about that in just a little bit. But tell us again about your location and whether or not you welcome people to come by to just get an idea of your setup.
Absolutely. Just want to make sure everybody understands we are open for anyone to just stop by, try the interactive concept, because a lot of our members cook their own meal with our chefs. About 50% of our members cook their own meals with the chef. The chef preps everything, obviously. By the time you get there, you cook a little bit and you sit down.
And
like
you
a
give
restaurant.
Them your own menu, right?
They curate their own menu. They say they want to cook Greek food, Israeli food, French food, whichever. It's all prepped. And then they go in the kitchen with the chefs. Or you can just come in and eat out of the menu. But, yes, again, you can come by any day, any time. I'm always there. So if you want to try it out, let me know, and I'll be happy to host you.
How do you coordinate the Kitchen Collective with the Vintner Collective? Do you have different personnel that works at each place, or do you have some that are jointly working?
Correct. They're separated. The employees who work in the tasting room are very different than the employees who work at the club. It's two very different jobs, but we coordinate. Our members of our club at the Venice Collective have access to our club, so there's a lot of coordination between the two companies and reciprocities.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something I forgot to mention is we also do events. So December and January are all the end of the year events. So if you're a corporation or a winery or anyone. That needs a space for up to 150 people. Contact us.
Great for a party there.
Oh, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned about the Vintners Collective having some 40 wineries represented. Is that right?
Vineyards Collective has about 20 wineries who are who have a Dupo 2, meaning they are fully licensed as a wine grower. And then we might have a half a dozen more that will go in our wine club. Mm-hmm. So it's still small. I taste about one wine every week. I must have tasted thousands of wines over the years, and only 20 wineries made it inside the tasty room. Okay. We're very, very
selective there.
Selective, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, how does one get a wine into the Vintners Collective?
They just come by, bring some samples, and I assure you that I would taste them and give it a very good, some very mm-hmm. good thoughts about it.
Where do your customers come from?
Mostly for Vintners Collective, they're all over the country. We have a good base that are local, meaning North Bay, and we do events every month, so we get to see them. The ones who are in the North Bay, they come our events and maybe have usually about 100 people, and it's wonderful to see them every month. The rest of them, they're all over the country, like all the wineries in Napa Valley.
Okay.
For Kitchen Collective, it's the opposite, mostly North Bay and a few from around the country.
Now, we're talking with Garrett T. Murphy, and certainly an interesting aspect that has been very successful in the Napa Valley, and his new venture, the Kitchen Collective, is unique in that it's basically the only one we could think of that is really functioning and doing a good job in the entire country.
Yes, for the only one that actually gets the clients to come into the kitchen and have fun cooking with the chefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many great aspects. So if you're interested, stop by. And again, give us your address there for the Kitchen Collective.
It's 1650 Soskal Avenue, 1650 Soskal Avenue next to the Napa River Inn and the River Terrace Inn.
And the Umpqua Bank is right there.
The Umpqua Bank,
across
correct.
The street from you there. Okay. Correct. Well, thanks for updating us. Certainly an interesting aspect of the wine business now, and also the culinary business with that Kitchen Collective. So keep up the good work there.
Thanks, Ira. And let's do this again in 18 years.
Yeah, every 18 years we'll put you down. Hey, stay tuned because we're going to find out more about Up Valley. It's St. Helena does so much and so good, and they've got a program called Jingle All the Way, and we're going to find out about that when we continue. Here we go. More today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. And we look so forward to always learning more about Up Valley, as St. Helena is such an interesting place. And the Chamber of Commerce there is taken care of by Amy Carabra, and she is President CEO of the St. Helena Chamber. So, Amy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Ira.
Well, let's find out a little bit about your background before we find out about Jingle All the Way. Did you grow up in the St. Helena area or where?
No, I didn't. I actually grew up on a little island in Washington State.
Oh. And, well, we had somebody from Walla Walla on earlier. So now it's we go over to the other end there by the coast there and your island. Then how did you happen to wind up in St. Helena?
So I actually have a background in media. I was a news anchor for about 15 years. And I have a journalism background, and I just knew a lot of people, and this position came up, and a couple people gave me a call, and they said, we think you would be perfect to be the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. And I've been there now for over 2 years, and I love it. I think we're doing a great job in the city of St.
What were you doing prior to that when you heard about the opening?
I was anchoring the news.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And where was that?
I was a news anchor all over. I've been a news anchor in San Diego, in Las Vegas, in Sacramento for several years.
Mm-hmm. When you were in San Diego, have you ever heard of Kimberly Hunt down there?
I know Kimberly Hunt. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Well, she's from Napa.
She went to Vintage High School and used to be on KVON.
Yes, I actually know that. That's very funny. Yeah. It's such a small world.
Yeah, but yeah. But anyway, let's find out more now about the chamber and what can you tell us about what some of the items that the chamber considers doing up Valley?
So when I came on as president and CEO, we really wanted to do a lot of different things for the chamber. Obviously, we're the chamber, so we support all our members and our local businesses, but we also are responsible for destination marketing for the city of St. Helena. And so one of those things is bringing on more community events. So last year we launched St. Helena Jingle All the Way, and it was an eco-friendly ice skating rink. And this year we wanted to do something just a little bit different. And one of the reasons we decided to go with Napa Valley's Winter Wonderland Roller Rink and Holiday Lights in St. Helena was to draw a little bit more energy and awareness and traffic to St. Helena, because who's heard of a Winter Wonderland roller rink? It's very unique. It's very different.
So this is roller rink, not ice skating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we put, the city and the chamber put a lot of financing and raised a lot of money to help put this event on. And the whole park, it's at Lyman Park in St. Helena, is just completely lit with lights. We have a giant 26-foot snowflake that we custom built that says St. Helena, that is right at the entrance. When you walk in, you can literally see St. Helena from space. It is so bright with lights, and this roller rink is just popping. Well,
now, is this in a building, or do you have covering for this, or tell us about physically what it's like?
So it is covered. We have professional tenting. I mean, this is a very professional event. What we decided to do is we partnered up with a company in the Bay Area that already has a very well-established roller rink called the Church of Eight Wheels.
And that's located where?
It's in San Francisco.
Okay.
And they basically revamped an old vintage church into this really cool, hip, trendy roller rink. Mm-hmm. And so the idea behind teaming up with them was to draw some traffic to, obviously, the Napa Valley and St. Helena. They have a huge Bay Area following. They've got a huge Sacramento following. And they, believe it or not, have a huge Napa Valley following. So to have them doing a pop-up roller rink in St. Helena has just been, I mean, it's been huge since we opened. The foot traffic at downtown has been bustling. There's so much energy around the roller rink. And roller rinks, believe it or not, are becoming, they're popular again. They used to be so popular in the 50s and the 60s, right? Yeah. In the 70s. And now we're seeing them pop up at Coachella and Burning Man. There was a pop-up roller rink by the same company that we hired, and now they have popped up in Napa Valley.
Is it easier to roller skate than ice skate, or is there much of a difference?
I personally think it's easier to roller skate. Last year,
yeah, you got eight wheels there compared to two blades.
And I feel like there's sort of this nostalgia with it, because there's so many people that I think are connected to roller skating of all ages, whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing people of all ages actually get on the roller rink, whereas last year we saw more kids, and then the parents were kind of on the sidelines. Now we're seeing the whole family out on the actual skating floor. And it's great because we've...
How large a floor is it?
So it's 40 by 60. So it's bigger than last year. Last year we were just a little bit of half that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's more also about the lighting. We've got hot ties.
How did you do this, tie the lighting into a roller rink?
It was so much work. This was a year in planning, the city and the chamber. There's a team of three of us that have really been working incredibly hard to make this event successful. And of course, it's Napa Valley, so we have a bar that has wine and hot toddies and hot chocolate and hot apple cider.
Tell me more about this bar. So these are local wines that you have available there?
We do. So we have Cliff Family and Behringer, as well as a couple other wineries that are pouring wine, which is great. Cookies by the Station, which is a new sort of venture by Joel Gott in St. Helena area. And so they're promoting some of their baked goods. We have a fire pit station, so families can come and hang out around several different fire pits and keep warm. And then we've got a bunch of
different... Well, you also have hot chocolate to help you keep warm.
We do. And the hot chocolate's really good. But then we also have a bunch of different activities that happen actually at the roller rink, like Disney Frozen characters, or I've got Derby team coming out on the 14th. So that's going to be really fun to see roller derby girls you know, flying around the rink. We of course have Santa Claus coming to the rink. We have a live DJ. It just kind of depends on the day.
Will Santa be there more than once?
Santa's going to be there three times. So that's exciting.
And when will that be, in case that people would like to bring their kids there?
So you can check out the schedule at sthelenajingle.com, and it's all listed there. It'll tell you when Santa Claus is making an appearance. Santa Claus is also making an appearance at the St. Helena Chamber of Commerce and the Welcome Center, which is right on Main Street. So we also have Santa there for free family photos, and that is on...
so you can get your picture taken with Santa.
You can, and it's really funny. A lot of people bring their pets, so you can bring your pets, the more the merrier, and come and take pictures. We have free wine also out
so
in the Welcome Center.
Actually, there's a lot happening to just stop by. You don't have to skate.
You don't. Yeah, you don't. You can just hang out by the fire pit. Stay warm and cozy, listen to the music, and just enjoy the lights, and of course have some double hot toddies.
Well, tell us about location-wise, how you came up with the location. Is it the same place as last year, or since you expanded the size, is it a different location? Or?
So it's the same place. It's still at Lyman Park, and we chose Lyman Park because the park is centrally located right off Main Street, and we're always trying to encourage those that are coming into town that are visiting to obviously support our local businesses, shop our downtown, shop our businesses, do their holiday shopping, and then come up to the roller rink and have fun in the evening, explore some of the wineries and restaurants, or you can even stay the night. You know, we've got a lot of area hotels that are also partnering with the roller rink. So if you book a room, they'll give you complimentary tickets to the roller rink. And we also have, believe it or not, a holiday trolley, which is brand new this year. And that trolley will pick you up at the area hotels and bring you to the roller rink.
Is there a charge for that?
There isn't. No, it's absolutely free.
That'd be just fun to ride on the trolley.
The trolley is super fun. It's open air. The chamber put that on as well. That's brand new this year. That was a new addition. And we're just
What about your ice igloos? Is that new to this year?
The ice igloos are the best. I'm so glad you brought that up. Those are new. Those are really unique. They're just these really cool, I call them VIP ice igloo tents because we've got some lovely furniture inside and you can go grab a glass of sparkling and basically pop into the ice igloo with your family and just enjoy.
This gets to be extensive as far as the coverage, the area.
Yeah. Well, the park is small. It's in a very, smaller space, but it's all there. You can't miss it.
And how's parking?
Parking is good. There's parking pretty much in the back or on the street. I mean, we haven't had any issues with parking at all. People just really are coming and they're actually getting a lot of the Copper Cane sparkling that we have, and they're just sitting back by the fire and roller skating. It's really been really great. Even with the wet weather, it's been great.
Now, was this your idea as far as the holiday lights?
So there's a couple of us that kind of work together. We're a team, and so I wouldn't ever say it's anyone's just solo idea. We work together, and we knew we wanted to really have the lights kind of blow the park out of, we wanted people to drive by and go,
what kind
oh
of lights
gosh.
Would you describe these as?
So they're obviously, they're all solar powered, which is so great. But I think the big showstopper piece is the 26-foot giant snowflake, which is right in front. And it's doing exactly what we strategically wanted, which now I'm putting my marketing hat on. As the CEO of the chamber, we want people to come not only for the event, but to snap a photo in front of this giant snowflake and tag us on social media. We're at St. Helena CA. That's our handle on Instagram. We have almost 20,000 followers. But the point is that we want people to be taking photos in front of this huge snowflake because it's such a show-stopping piece. And we feel it really represents St. Helena. St. Helena is a showstopper, a little town in the Napa Valley. Yeah. It's so unique. It's so special. And it's shining bright, and we want people to know that we're here and come visit us. And I think when you see the snowflake, you'll pull over.
Yeah. Well, it used to be that people would come to the Napa Valley to visit St. Helena or Calistoga. They go right past Napa. Now with Napa changing, now people are stopping and staying over in Napa. It's getting to be a place that is getting recognized more as a tourist destination, and still with the offerings that you have in St. Helena, that brings them up Valley too, and even Calistoga. But tell us a bit about the business aspect now in St. Helena. If things are calming down, if they're in good shape, or how you would evaluate them at the current time.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you bring up the point that you just bring up, because it's kind of a good problem to have, right? It's so great to have visitors coming to Napa in general, whether they're in Napa, Calistoga, Yountville, or St. Helena. Obviously, each little town within the area has something unique about it. So I think it's about each little city, whether it's bigger like Napa or smaller like St. Helena, to really be sort of promoting what makes us different and unique. And what's unique about St. Helena is we have such a cute, quaint, historical downtown with so many different stories to tell. Businesses that have been there for over 30 years. We've got some of the best wineries in Napa Valley, some of the most amazing dining. We've got Michelin chefs, just like a lot of the other areas. So while I, of course, love St. Helena because I'm the CEO and president of the St. Helena Chamber, I do work incredibly well with Visit Napa Valley and all the other CEOs of the other chambers to really kind of work together to help our tourism here in our area. You know, we had the fires and we had different things that were unexpected. And so we've all been working incredibly hard to just keep that buzz about all the special things that there is to offer here in the Napa Valley. And I know I'm working incredibly hard for St. Helena because our businesses, they need it, our wineries need it. And so we have a promotional passport that we actually just launched for our area wineries. That happens right now during, obviously, Cabernet season. And that passport is so great. It draws a lot of traffic to the area and to the wineries.
How do people get familiar with that or come in contact with that?
So on our website, sthelena.com, it's all there. We changed the passport this year to be strictly wineries, and we've already tripled the sales. So we're seeing more and more people coming from out of town. And what's great is they're coming and they're staying the night. They're dining at the restaurants, they're shopping, and then they're exploring the wineries. So it's really been just really, really great. The city and the chamber have been working incredibly hard together to, you know, get our downtown lit with sparkling lights for the holidays, really beef up our social media presence online and our marketing, bring influencers out to the area to show off, you know, whether it's a mom and pop business or a larger restaurant, just to really show off what we have to offer.
We're talking with Amy Carabra. She is president CEO of the St. Helena Chamber. Do you have many rooms available as far as hotels and that type of accommodations?
So we have a good, you know, we have a decent number of hotels. Obviously, there's more hotels in other, you know, cities in the Napa Valley. But, you know, I think it's one of the reasons why we did Jingle All the Way and partnered with that trolley to give free tickets to the rink if you come and stay. So right now, with talking with a lot of the area hotels, everybody seems to be doing pretty good. And, you know, they're excited about the roller rink and the holiday festivities. We've been bringing out, like I said, a lot of influencers, which is really great to come and kind of show off your town. And I think we've been seeing foot traffic up a little bit, which has been really, really nice. Mm-hmm.
Do you consider Meadowood as far as part of St. Helena?
So I do consider Meadowood as part of St. Helena. They're a member of the chamber, and I'm the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. So 100% I do. Obviously, there's other people that may say no, but you know, they're a member of the chamber, and we support our members. And
what a great job they do out there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful property. It really is.
And they've been working on it quite a bit this past year, too.
They have. The pool is stunning. They just, you know, unveiled the new pool. It's beautiful. We have so many great properties. They're all beautiful. They're all unique. Mm-hmm. They're all different. You know, we have the Wydown Hotel, which is right downtown. We've got Harvest Inn. We've got Las Alcobas. And they all have different little unique features. So,
well, you have another facility that's a little bit out of town, but has the name, the St. Helena Hospital.
Yes.
What a nice facility there.
The St. Helena Hospital and the St. Helena Hospital Foundation is impressive. In fact, they actually just unveiled a new breast cancer center right in the heart of downtown, which is just been incredible for them to be able to open that up. The hospital, it's a wonderful hospital. They do a lot of great work there. And, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about the hospital.
Well, as president CEO, that's nice.
Yeah.
You have good things to say. The thing we want to talk about and stress, though, and wrapping it up, is the huge roller rink, and encourage people to come out and take a look at it.
Yeah, and one thing I want to mention is we try to make it really affordable. It's $8 and $12. So $8 for kids, $12 for adults. Every Thursday, the first hour, kids skate for free. So we did that so anyone can come out and your kids can skate for free the first hour on every Thursday. And like I said, for more information, you can go to sthelenajingle.com or sthelena.com. All the information's there.
Sounds like fun.
It's so much fun. You should come out. on roller skates.
How long is the roller rink going to be there?
So we're running until December 29th, and we are Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. So we are closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
And the hours that you're open?
So the hours are Thursday, Friday from 4 o'clock to 8 p.m., and then Saturday and Sundays from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m.
And the holiday lights, how long are they on?
They are on shining bright until they go out. The 29th is when they'll probably most
but
likely.
But leave them on all night? Or
we usually leave them on. We did have a little technical glitch over the weekend because it was raining so much. We fixed that. So if they're not on, then I'm going to be up at the, you're going to see me at the park. That's what I have to say.
One final thing that we haven't touched on. I understand you're going to have carolers there too.
We are. So we're going to have carolers. Like I said, there's a huge list of activities. It's all on the website, St. Helena Jingle.
Food trucks, Santa, fire pits, holiday lights, carolers. The real holiday season right there in St. Helena.
It's so much fun. The roller derby girls are going to come out. That is so great to get to see them, you know, skate really quickly on the rink. Mm-hmm. All in all, it's just a great time for family, friends, anybody can come out. You can bring your pets. It's a pet-friendly park, and warm up by the fire and roller skate.
Well, Amy, anytime you have something like this, some special activities at St. Helena, come on in and tell us about it. This is certainly a big thing, the roller rink, holiday lights, and jingle all the way. All right, we've been talking with Amy Carrabra. She is President CEO of St. Helena Chamber of Commerce. And so stay tuned because we've got a lot more good programming coming your way on KVON. This is Ira C. Smith. You've been listening to Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa Edition.